Luke tells us that on the night that Jesus was born in that area, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find the child wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was a multitude of angels of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whose favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into the heavens, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that we have been told." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Two teenage boys were heading off one day to their favorite fishing hole, and they decided they were going to cross this semi-wooded pasture. And as they got to the edge of the pasture, they found this hole in the ground. And being boys, well, they were curious, so they picked up a rock, and they dropped it in. And it went down, 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 down. And they never heard it hit the bottom. They thought, "Man, this must be a deep hole." So they went and they got a small boulder and they carried it over and they dropped it down in the hole. And down, 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 down in went it. And they never heard a crash and never heard a splash. So they looked around and they saw a log over by some shrubs, a short log. And they went over and they picked it up and they brought it over. "Surely this will make a sound." And they dropped it in the hole. And about that time, all of a sudden they heard, "Baa!" And they saw the sheep come out of the shrubs, running as fast as it could, and jump right down in the hole. Strangest thing they'd ever seen. Moments later, a shepherd came by and said, asked them if he had seen his sheep. He had it tied to a small log over by their shrubs. And there were shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks at night. You know, we tend to think that evangelism is difficult today. But to those who first heard or later read Luke's record of the birth of Jesus, this good news, that must have been a tough sell. The people of Israel had known the stories. They'd heard the prophecies for hundreds of years. They grew up learning these things, and they hoped that the Messiah would return to them in their lifetime. A royal fanfare, a celebration unlike any other. Everybody laughing, everybody, you know, just having a great time, happy, and wine would flow like a river, and exotic visitors with extravagant gifts would come along. And now Luke says, this has happened. Glory to the newborn king. But the early readers, the people are like, "Well, wait a minute. You're telling us that the Messiah has been born and no one knew about it? And God as your witness, Luke, you're telling us that his mother was a poor girl from, what was the name of that town she was from? Nazareth. Yeah, she was from Nazareth. And her father's just this poor unknown carpenter? And that the Son of God, the creator of the universe, was born in a stable and laid in an animal's food box. And now, the coup de grace, the icing on the cake, shepherds. Shepherds, really? You want us to believe shepherds? Are you kidding me? The story of the Messiah's birth would have been hard to believe with all the prefabricated notions that of what the Messiah's birth would be like. It was hard to believe, and yet not unbelievable. But when Luke added the shepherds into this mix, the story lost all credibility. And you may be saying to yourself, now, what's the problem with shepherds anyhow? Well, the issue is that shepherds were not looked upon favorably. When I was a young boy, we would go to my grandparents' farm, and they had a huge front yard, at least 50 yards from the highway, and we would play all over it. And one day, one summer day, my grandmother came out and yelled at my brother and I and my cousins and told us, get away from the road. She said, you're only allowed to play around the house. And when we asked why, she said, because there are gypsies coming through the valley. The name gypsy comes from the Greek word for Egyptian. And it is believed that the gypsies originated in Egypt, but were expelled as punishment for helping the Holy Family, Mary and Joseph and the infant Jesus, when they escaped from Jerusalem to Egypt. And having no home, they became a nomadic people who then migrated to Western Asia, Central Europe, and later to the United States. Having no permanent home or stable jobs, gypsies learned odd jobs and means of entertaining, like singing and dancing and juggling and sword swallowing and fire breathing and fortune telling. In the U.S., some would travel around putting on shows, but no one trusted them. They were seen as liars and thieves and kidnappers. My grandmother had this prejudice. And so when she heard gypsies were in the area, she literally feared that we would be stolen and taken away. In Jesus' day, shepherds were seen in much the same light. They were perceived as liars and thieves and untrustworthy. When shepherds went by, men held onto their money bags and women pulled their small children closer. Shepherds were dirty and unkept men of ill repute. They were not allowed to go into the temple. And they weren't even allowed to testify in a court of law because of their word and their witness wasn't to be believed. And yet, Luke, you want us to believe shepherds? When they say that they saw an angel and the angel told them of the birth of the Messiah and that he was born in a stable? Ha! They're either crazy, lying, or they're drunk out of their minds. You can't trust a shepherd, especially with the announcement of the Messiah's birth. Come on, Luke, do you really want us to believe this? And Luke says, absolutely, absolutely. But it doesn't make any logical sense. No, it doesn't. But it does make biblical sense. In Isaiah 55:8, God tells the people who question his forgiving ways, he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. And hear Paul's words to the Corinthians. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Jews demand miraculous signs. Greeks look for wisdom. But to those whom God has called, they seek Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly and despised things of the world, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are. Throughout history, God has perfectly accomplished what the world said he couldn't, what the world said was impossible, what the world said was illogical. A 90-year-old woman named Sarah gives birth to a nation. A murdering, stuttering man named Moses becomes the leader of Israel. An unknown shepherd boy is anointed king of Israel. The prophet Hosea is commanded to marry an unfaithful prostitute. A virgin gives birth to the Messiah in a barn, and the first evangelists are a bunch of untrustworthy shepherds. Seems right on to me. Fits God's MO. fits right in with what God's been doing all along, right? Is it logical? No. But the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom. But let's look for some wisdom in this foolishness, shall we? Why shepherds? Why didn't God announce this to the innkeepers or the potters or the blacksmiths? Well, for a possible answer, let's look at what the angels said to the shepherds. They said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Who is this good news for? For all people. For all people. The angel went on to tell them that the Savior has been born to whom? To Joseph and Mary? To the kings of the earth? To the holy and righteous? No. The Savior has been born to you. He was born to them. He came for them, shepherds, the lowly, the untrustworthy, the unrighteous people of the earth. In Matthew 9:13, Jesus told the pious, self-righteous religious leaders, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I did not come for the righteous, but I came for the unrighteous sinner." In Jesus' day, who was considered more unrighteous than shepherds? I think of the announcement. I think the announcement is given to the shepherds because Christ was given as a great joy for all people, even the lowliest people on earth. No one is excluded from this great joy. Perhaps we in America are finally starting to understand what 95% of the rest of the world understand. The 1% versus the 99%. We are seeing the widening in this gap of those who have and those who have not. The 1% can have and get whatever they want, while the 99% struggle. And even as we feel the squeeze in that, friends, we are still part of the 1% compared to the rest of the world. Can you imagine if Jesus had been born as most people in his day had dreamed of, as being part of the 1%? His mother would have been a wealthy young woman, perhaps a princess. She would have had the best nutrition, the best midwife. Jesus would have been born in a warm palace, birthed on the softest cotton, wrapped in the finest silk, and laid on the finest wool. The rulers of the world would have come from the four corners, and he would have been adorned with jewelry and gold and silver. But he also would have been just heavily protected. The opportunity to gaze on the baby just from a distance would have been by invitation only, and you better have a heavy sum of money for that privilege. Had Jesus been born according to man's wisdom, do you think the 99% of the world would have had any access to him, let alone some ugly, rough shepherds? Had Jesus been born according to man's wisdom and logic, he would have never had the access to the people that he came to save. So you see, these unrighteous shepherds make perfect sense. Because Jesus came for all people, the lowliest of society needed to be represented. And so God begins with them. For if the Messiah was born unto them, if they are worthy, then so is everyone else who is above them. The lesson for us today is this. The shepherds represent the unrighteous, the sinners, us. They represent us. Isaiah had it right. He said, "All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags." Solomon said, "There is not a righteous person on earth who does what is right and never sins." You see, none of us are righteous on our own. Yes, we like to elevate ourselves, and oh, we like others to think that because we come to church, because we have faith in Jesus, that we've got this sin thing down, that we've got this righteousness thing figured out. But here's the dirty little secret. We all know our own weaknesses. We know the things, the sinful things in our hearts that we struggle with, the unrighteous acts, the unrighteous words, the unrighteous thoughts. Oh yes, we are all clothed in filthy rags of unrighteousness. You see, the reality is, we are all shepherds. We're all shepherds. But do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy that is for all people. For unto you is born this day in the town of David a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. And as Paul explains, and now a righteousness from God has been made known, to which the law and prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe in Him. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and we are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came through Jesus Christ. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become His righteousness. Oh, glory to God in the highest. Can I get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
A hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Now, my friends, if you've understood this message this morning, if you get it and believe what the angel said, then you only have one option, and that is to do what our shepherd brothers did so long ago. When you leave this place, after hearing this good news that you are made righteous in Christ because of what He's done for you, then all you can do is go through the town dancing and singing and praising God and glorifying God for all that you have heard and seen. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Today we light the candle of joy. The fact that Jesus was born for our sins, and through Him we become righteous. We nasty shepherds become saints. Is that a joy or not? Let us rejoice in that. Amen?